Great. We are at the mission on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Still dealing with this issue of Shechita for Avodah Zarah. Yesterday and the day before, we dealt with it in the context of someone who is a good, proper Shochet would never have any thought of Avodah Zarah, but he's working on behalf of an animal owner who himself is or seems to be oriented towards Avodah Zarah. Sometimes we're reading his mind, sometimes the statement is explicit, but it's made too late. What if the Shochet himself says something afterwards? So here, we get issues of Avodah Zarah that is not Avodah Zarah, meaning intent for something that we believe is clearly inappropriate, but it may not qualify as pure Avodah Zarah for the purpose of prohibiting the use of the animal. So the Mishnah says at the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Hashochet l'shem harim, l'shem gva'os, l'shem yamim, l'shem naharos, l'shem midbaros. A person shechts having in mind all sorts of natural features and that they should be Avodah Zarah. Rashi is very clear. L'shem yamim sha'asa hayam avodas kochavim. He makes the sea into an idolatry. So it's a mountain, a hill, the sea, a river, a wilderness. The shechita is pasul. Shnayim ochzit. Now we're going to have to come back to the word pasul here. Earlier in the last couple of days, we used the word pasul and we understood that to mean aser bahana. However, our Gemara's assumption here is going to be that pasul does not mean aser bahana. We're now going to use the word pasul differently. So keep that in mind. Second of the two cases, shnayim ochzin besakin v'shochtin. This is a different sort of shnayim ochzin. The two people are holding on to a knife and engaged in shechita simultaneously. Remember that we've talked about how that can work. Echad l'shem echad mikol elu v'echad l'shem davar kasher. One of them is thinking about one of the Avodah Zarah thoughts that we referenced here. The other one is thinking about something else entirely. He's thinking I want a hamburger. So shechita so psula. The shechita there is pasul, even though you argue zev is a goreim, one is thinking about a good thing, one is thinking about a bad thing. Shechita is no good. Okay, we're going to stick to the first part of this Mishnah here. The shechita for some natural feature is pasul. So the Gemara assumes pasul means that it's not Avodah Zarah. Or at any rate, it's not Avodah Zarah, but that it's still allowed, you're still allowed to benefit. Psula in zivche meisim lo. Disqualified just means it's disqualified, it's not a kasher shechita. However, it's not what we call zivche meisim. Zivche meisim is the term brought from the pasuk to refer to something for Avodah Zarah, for idolatry. And here, you're not telling me that it's zivche meisim, it's not considered to be Avodah Zarah purely such that it will be aser ba'ana. Very many, and he challenges it, because we learn the following in a Tosefta. Hashochet l'shum harim, l'shum gva'os, l'shum yamim, l'shum naharos. The Bach throws in the yamim. L'shum midbaros. If a person shechts for all of these natural features, which are the ones we listed in our Mishnah, as well as l'shum chama ulevana, for the sun and the moon, l'shum kochavim umazalos, the stars, the constellations, l'shum Michael hasar hagadol, l'shum shilshul katan, for Michael the great angel, Rashi says we just mean a really, really big entity, or shilshul katan, a small worm. Yes, that's where the term shilshul comes from. Harei elu zivche meisim. We say that it is called Zivche Meisim. So now I have a problem. I have a Mishnah that says that it's just Pasul. I have another Mishnah that says it's Zivche Meisim. I think that's why we take Pasul differently here. In other words, in a vacuum, I could have taken Pasul to mean Aser Bahana, the same way that we did the other day. However, because I have a parallel source which describes the same cases, but instead ends Harayelu Zivche Meisim, I assume that's not what Pasul means. Because elsewhere you used the phrase, and now suddenly you didn't. So Amar Abaye answers, Lo kasha, that's no problem. Hada Amar lahar, Hada Amar legada dehar. One is where you do it for a har, a mountain, and the other one is where you do it for the god of the mountain. Rashi says, Malach hamemuna al haharim, the angel who is appointed upon the mountains. Remember the pasuk, Harachim lagad shulchan, those who arrange their table for God for some form of luck or idol. Remember that when God is named, he's named Ba God. The God has arrived, and one way to take that is that we're in luck. He has brought good luck. Remember, also they talk about elsewhere Shulchan Degada, or the Arsel Degada, the bed that they used to arrange in the house. They talk about it in the Gemara and Shabbos for luck. I didn't have a lot of time to work on this yesterday. I would have given you the references on the sheet, but but God in general is a term for some form of supernatural luck. So if a person checked not for the mountain as a physical feature, but for the malach of the mountain, that is avodah zara. Deka not. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Dekitani dumya demichal saragadol. And because we reference this as similar to, in the same list as, shechting for Michal the great angel. Michal the great angel is not a natural feature. Michal the great angel is an intelligent entity. So Shema Mina, we see that there is a distinction between these two, and we only said Pasul here, because if you shech for the natural feature itself, the natural feature does not become Asur. We'll see why momentarily. I just want to say the line here. The natural feature does not become Asur, and the animal that you shecht it for the sake of the natural feature does not become aser. Whereas if you shecht for a separate entity, an intelligent entity that's not mechubar, it's not joined to the to planet Earth, then that's bona fide avodah zara. The shechita is aser ba'ana, the whole bit. If you take a look at Rashi, and on this, Rashi explains a little bit more on dumya de Michael. Delo mechubarhu, he is not joined to the ground. Ubale chayim, afa gavdelo mitzri mishum avodas kochavim. Living things do not become aser as avodah zara. Kedekayim alon b'tzimura mida aser achmana ne'avad legavoa michlal de lehedyot shari. From the fact that the Torah says if you worship something, you can't use it as a karban, that means that you are allowed to benefit from it in general, right? Remember all those lists, Muktzah, Ne'avad, and all that, Nirba, Roveya. So we say that something that you worshipped can't be used as a karban, but that means it may be used for other things. Otherwise, I wouldn't have needed to say it can't be used as a karban. Miu Elohus Mikru. He says, however, you should know, if you shech to these things, they are called gods, so to speak. Rashi makes an important point. His point is that even though these natural features do not render your animal aser bahana, you should know this is avodah zara. There's no mistaking it. This is an act of avodah zara anyway. So Tosfos asks, if this is an act of avodah zara, when a person shechts for the mountain, why doesn't the animal in fact become aser? And so Tosfos offers two suggestions. One suggestion is that the rule that you're not allowed to benefit, or to put it positively, the mitzvah of abed to abdun, to destroy avodah zara, is a requirement stated in the Torah only for things that are separate, that are not mechubar. The Torah says, abed to abdun es kol mekamos asher adu shama goyim asher atem yoshem osam es Eloheihem al haharim haramim v'al hagvaos v'sachas kol etz ra'anan, that which is worshipped that is on the mountain, that is on the hill, that is under the tree, beneath the tree, those things are what you destroy, but not the mountain itself. That's not what's like, not the mountain itself, not the, I know what you're going to ask it, it's a good question, hold on one second, hang on one second, now Meyer's asking it, it's a good question, but I'll answer it in one moment, or you can look at the footnote on the sheet. But the first point to understand is that if a person worships a natural feature of planet Earth, something that is mechubar, or we're mentioning here also stars and the moon and the sun and all that, that's considered to be something which is an act of avodah zara. It is aser, make no mistake about it. However, because of gzeras hakasuv, because of the way it's stated in the Torah, it's not aser bahana. The mountain does not become aser bahana. So I'm assuming you're about to ask about Asherah. Yes. So what do you do with the Asherah? So the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah asks that question. Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, and offers two answers. One answer is, these things have Yad Adam Bahem. People's hands are involved in them in the sense that you plant a tree. His question is, Asherah, tree worship. The rule is, in fact, that the tree is aser bahana, but the tree is mechubar. So one answer is, people plant the trees, which of course doesn't explain all the trees. But the second answer is, it's gzeras hakasuv. The Torah says, v'asherehem tegadeun, you have to destroy their asherah. Okay, so the asherah is in a different category. Unlike the mountains, we don't have a pasuk saying destroy the mountains, which is good, because that's difficult. But the Tosfos still offers another answer for the fundamental question of, if it's called avodah zara, how is it that the entity isn't usur? Our first answer is that there are in fact two rules. There's a mitzvah of don't worship idols, and there's a mitzvah of destroy idolatry, and they're stated regarding different things. Tosfos' second answer is that when the Torah says that worshiping mazalos is avodah zarah, right, that automatically taught me that worshiping anything that's mechubar is avodah zarah, because mazalos are mechubar. They are connected to something. They're grounded in something. What do you mean? They're not grounded in planet Earth. However, remember Ptolemy's physics. You have spheres, right? And everything is anchored to a sphere. Spheres within spheres that make up our universe. And even though, you know, we don't believe that there are spheres, the point for us is the same. As long as something is, so to speak, physically anchored, it doesn't move by intelligence, but it moves because there's some other force that is drawing it along. Whether that force is gravity or whether that force is that it's anchored in a sphere that's rotating, the point is it doesn't have its own ability to move. That's called mechubar. Mechubar means you are joined to something else that is your motor, that is making you move or stay still.
In orbit.
And in this case, it's in orbit, right.
But mazalos are is accustomed to?
So mazalos would, well, they don't become asur bahana. I'm allowed to benefit from the sun, even though people worship the sun. Right?
Where
do you see that you're allowed to benefit from the sun? Yaakov benefited from the sun. Yeah. Good thing there's a pasuk for it, otherwise vitamin D would be usur.
If you sacrifice to the sun, are you saying it's mutar b'ana?
Yes, the sun is mutar b'ana. The same way the mountain is mutar b'ana, so to the sun is. The only one that's different is the tree, because you have an explicit pasuk that says destroy the tree. All the other ones remain mutar b'ana, that's correct. It is avodah zarah. Please don't come out here thinking you can worship the sun. But it doesn't render the sun usur. These are two separate mitzvos.
There's nowhere in the Tanakh where it says the mazalos are avodah
zarah. And therefore usur b'ana, not that I know of.
Well, is it?
Could be. But I don't think so, no. Okay. So,
why is it possible then? Because
it's still an act of avodah zarah. That's what we're saying. It's still an act of avodah zarah. We're not permitting this. We're just saying you don't have to destroy the mountain, and the entity because is still mutar bahana because your worship was for something that's mechubar. Oh right, so I'm sorry. So Rashi adds in, right? I'm sorry, I should have added that. Rashi says the reason that the actual shechita is asur, not the reason why the entity that you worshipped is still mutar b'ana. But the reason the shechita is asur is that they're rabbanon, because you could become confused between this and the other type of shechita for avodah zarah, where it is for some separate entity. Thank you. Okay. So the Gemara now talks about shechting somebody else's animal for avodah zarah, because why would you want to shecht your own? It's just going to become usur to you. Shecht someone else's and have some fun. So Amar Ravuna says, "Haisa b'mas chaveru revutza lefnei avodas kochavim." Someone else's animal is sprawled in front of avodah zarah. Kevan sheshachat basimon echad asra. When you shecht one simon in it, it now becomes usur. He brings the sprawling case specifically. You didn't have to pick it up and shecht it. Rashi says, because the point is, even though you didn't do an act of acquisition by picking it up and sprawling it yourself, nonetheless, your shechita renders it usur. That's Rashi. Tosfos disagrees and says the reason why it's here is to teach that your act is effective even though you did a relatively minor act. All you did was shecht it. You didn't actually pick up the animal and shift it in any way. So the point is that your act is a more minor act, which is going to matter in our discussion. So the animal was sitting there in front of the avodah zarah. Tosfos says, orcha de milsa naka. That just happens to be so. It was sitting in front of the avodah zarah. Or maybe it's to demonstrate what your intent is when you shecht, that no one should have any doubts. It's right there in front of the idol, so it's clear what you meant to do. You shechted somebody else's animal. Once you do simon echad, even just one simon, and we'll see what that means, it's asur now. End of quote. Savar la, we assume that Rav Huna agrees with ki had the Amar Ula Amar Rav Yochanan, with Ula's comment citing Rav Yochanan, aval pi she'amro mishtachem el bamas chavero lo asara, even though we say that if you bow to somebody else's animal, that doesn't make that animal asur. Asa b'maisa, asra. If you do a physical action on it, then indeed it is asra. So shechita we call a physical action, and that's what's driving Rav Huna here. Eiser Rav Nachman the Rav Huna, but Rav Nachman is not happy because he says, "Wait a minute, I have a brisa." Brisa says as follows: Hashochet chatas b'shabbos b'chutz la'avodas kochavim chayav shalosh chatos. Tosva says you should know we're not going for the world record here. You could add Yom Kippur, you could add other things if you really wanted this to be to multiply the chatos. But the point is, a person shechts a chatas outside the Beis HaMikdash, that's one foul. He does it on Shabbos, that's a second foul. And he does it with Avodah Zarah in mind, so that's a third foul. So that's Gimel Chatos for doing so, Bishogig. Rashi says this is not Mekalkel, it's not called a corruptive act, even though you're not going to be allowed to eat from the Shechita, because for Ben Noach, it's now no longer Eiver Menachai. So therefore, this is still called mitake, and you're still fixing it in some sense. So there's liability for all three. He also notes that even if this is not a valid shechita, it's still metilas neshama, right? You're still it's not liability under shochet; it's liability under execution. But the point out of this brisa is the e amrit kevin sheshachat basim and echad asara. If you're telling me that it becomes usur once you shecht just one simon on the neck, that means that the first thing that happens is avodah zara, right? It becomes avodah zara before it becomes shchut echutz. So therefore, ashchut echutz lo lechayev, you shouldn't be liable for shchut echutz because mechatech ba'aferhu. By the time you get around to completing the shechita, it's dirt. As Rashi says, top of the Yamud, dekeven dinesa mishum avodas kochavim, once it becomes aser as avodas zara, pakashem kachem mina, it's no longer called kachem, it's not a chadas anymore. V'naseh shel avodas kochavim, it becomes property of avodas zara, v'afra be'almehi. It's dirt, that's all it is. There's nothing else to do. So that's his objection. I'm sorry?
There's no concept like Yisr Kailo.
No, because it's a different entity by the time you complete the act of Shechita. By the time I get to the point where this would be Shechitas Kachim, it would no longer be a valid Shechita. It's already Avodah Zarah. It's been Avodah Zarah since the beginning. So therefore, I shouldn't be liable for Shechut Echutz. That's where Rashi makes his point that this is only the Tilas Neshama as far as Shabbos is concerned. His point is that it's not a Chatas, it's not Kachim. It's garnished. So that's his statement. So my challenge to Rav Huna is, if you're telling me that I can make somebody else's animal avodah zarah once I shecht one simon, then I don't understand why I would be liable for shechut echutz if I did that to somebody else's chatas outside the Beis HaMikdash. Forget the Shabbos concern. The Shabbos concern is on the side. So Rav Papa gives me the first of four answers. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Hacha bechatas ha'of askinan. Or on the second line on Mem Amud Beis. He says, we're dealing with a bird chatas here. You need both elements. It's a bird, but it's also a bird chatas, because therefore one simon is sufficient, whereas with an ola bird, you end up being mavdil, you do both. So you have a bird chatas, dekulu bahadeh hadadi ka'asi. So everything happens at once. It's already shchut echutz when you cut one simon. Yes?
Before you said it was a sprawling animal, how's a bird going to be sprawling in front of the bugs?
How would an animal sprawl? The same way a bird sprawls. But you're right, it's funny, because we use the term sprawling, but the answer is that this brisa didn't say that. This brisa is hashochet chatas b'shabbos. The sprawling animal was the other case. We're on the case where there's no animal and there's no sprawling. Yeah. Yeah, this is a different case.
In other words, the hacha he was talking about.
The Greek
said he did three. They wrote at the same time.
Right. So you shach the chatas ha'of. This is a chatas ha'of. Everything is happening simultaneously, and therefore it really is avodah zara. That's the idea. So the Gemara challenges this and says, wait a minute, michti Rav Huna keman amar lishmaise. When we said Rav Huna says that you're liable for shachting somebody else's animal and it becomes avodah zara, who was he like? Keula, right? We matched him up to Ula, who said that you don't ask us or somebody else's animal with a nothing action, you require an action. But Ve'ula Maisa Kolda Uka'amar, but Ula said any little deed is already going to render this this animal Avodah Zarah, and therefore it isn't even that you've done the entire simen, but even Chatzi simen, even when you start cutting. So therefore, it still becomes Avodah Zarah before anything else takes place. The Maisa Kolda Huka Amar. So that's our challenge here. Ella ba Omer Bigmar Zivicha Hu Ovda. So you know what? I'll tell you what. It's where the person who's doing the Avodah Zarah declares that he's only intending it for Avodah Zarah as the completion of the Siman. With the Gemara Zvicha, therefore Avodah Zarah occurs at the same time that the Shchutei Chutz occurs. Iyachi, well, if so, then I go back to the original case. Ma'ir Yachatas, why did you have to say it's a bird chatas? Lishmein and Zevach. You should just say Zevach in general. Rashi has two different ways. If you wanted to know why this Amud is so short, it's because Rashi has two different approaches here, so that's going to take us some time to work through. But Rashi's first approach is that this is actually a challenge to the Braisa. The meaning, why say Siman Echad, even two Simanim are fine. That's, you know, the Braisa itself, the wording in the Braisa was once Shachaba Siman Echad, but it's not. Now it's even two Simanim. That's Rashi number one. Rashi number two says that it's a challenge to Rav Huna. Because once you tell me that you're talking about a chatas, the reason for you to say chatas is not so much the one sim and two sim on an issue, it's that it's not yours. Because it's a chatas, it's property of the Kohanim and property of the Mizbeach, it doesn't belong to you. But yeah, and that was one of the pieces to the puzzle here. But the truth is, it's any carbon. If the effect is happening at the end, then it's any carbon at all, including a zevach, meaning a shlamim, which is partially yours. If you want to see the Rashi on it, is where he says the lamed aleph is about 10 lines down in the widest lines. Is where he says it. There should be no distinction between whether it's yours or whether it belongs to somebody else. It will retain the title of kachim until the end because his thought is only at the end. But for our purposes, the point is that you had a challenge. You said, I'm liable for Shchutei Chutz and I'm liable for Avodah Zarah, but the Avodah Zarah should take place first. Rav Papa's answer was no, because it's happening at the end of the Shchita. But then why did you mention Chata specifically? The fact that you mentioned Chata specifically was to tell me, I'm going to go with Rashi number one, although Rashi actually prefers his second approach. But the first one is easier to explain as we review this. If you go with this answer that it's a chatas, it sounds like it's because there's only one simon. That's what you cared about. But in fact, it could be multiple simonim. You could do two simonim. As long as this blood is at the end, it doesn't make a difference.
But his answer doesn't need oaf anymore. Oaf is gone with his answer. Going back to
right, you also don't need oaf. You don't need oaf and you don't need chatas. So we get a second answer. Ella Amar Marzutra Mishmedra. Papa rather Marzutra says, signing with Papa Hacha Mayaskinan, what's our case? Kigon Shahaya Chatzi Kanapagum. Remember this case? Half of the trachea was already cut before you got there. This is a very specialized case. V'hosif alav kol shu v'gomro. Your action was to go beyond the midpoint and to complete the shechita. So, dekulabad de'aladikasya, and everything happened simultaneously. Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, that was a good second answer. We're happy with that. But Rav Papa is now going to say, you know what I could have said? There were things I could have said if not for the way he worded his case. Here's one thing I could have said. Ilav d'amar Rav Huna simen echad. Had Rav Huna not actually said, when you cut one simen, lav lo havya chatas tiyuvte, chatas would not have been a problem. My maisa, because what did we mean when we said maisa? Maisa rabba. He could have said that maisa means a great deed. In other words, your problem was, it becomes Avodah Zarah right in the very beginning. My answer will be no. In order to prohibit somebody else's animal, you require a serious deed, not just cutting one simon. That's what I could have said, if not for the fact that Rav Huna said simon echad. Right? This Rashi would have been perfect, if not for that one word. I've seen approaches like that. So Rav Papa says, I'll tell you the truth, if Rav Huna is basing himself on Ula, who says you aser somebody else's animal, you prohibit someone else's animal, when you do the shechita, I would have said, yeah, but he meant the whole shechita. He didn't mean simon echad. That's how I would have interpreted Ula. And then her last answer, Velmer of Papa, or Papa brings us a fourth approach. Ilav da Amar of Huna Behemas Chavero, Lav Yechadas Tiyuvte Chadas wouldn't have been a big deal at all. This question of why Chadas specifically, the Mahad Rav Huna not specified somebody else's animal, because I would have said, my timer, why is it you're liable three times? Didei Matzi Aser, the Chavre La Matzi Aser, I would have said that you can only prohibit yours. You can't prohibit somebody else's. That's what I would have said.
Just like you can't be Matish somebody else's.
Exactly. That would have been my assumption, to which the Gemara says, well, then why did you need this conversation? Pshita. Right? That's obvious. So Mao the same came into Kani Le Chapara Kidide Dami. In other words, I would have assumed that it's your animal that we're talking about. Let me make sure that I say this clearly. I would have assumed that it's our animal that we are talking about. And a person who shechts a chatas on Shabbos is going to be liable for
It would only be liable if it was his animal, not if it was somebody else.
Right. You would only be liable if it was your animal. Right. No, but that doesn't solve my problem.
Why would it only be us a certain time that you completed the shechita?
No, but I would have said that Ula was only talking about your animal. I would have ended up saying Ula was only talking about your animal. Ula's statement was, even though we say if you bow to an animal, to somebody else's animal, you don't prohibit it, if you do a deed, you do prohibit it. And I would have said that meant if you do a deed to your own animal, not to somebody else's animal. That would have been my assumption. Doing a deed prohibits an animal only if it's yours. To which the Gemara says, but then that's pshita. That's obvious that if you do a deed to your animal, it's usser. What's your chiddush? I do something to my own animal, it's usser? Of course it's usser. What's the question? To which he answers, he says, pshita, mau desema, but I would have said, this is a chatas. Keva de kani le lechapara, kididei damya. I would have said that the chatas can become usser. See, now I have to say it the other way around. I'm sorry. He's saying that if you do something to somebody else's animal, you cannot render it usser, only to your own. However, I would have said that what he taught me was that if I do it to a chatas, it's not mine. That's his point. The chatas is considered to be not mine. That's his statement, right. The chatas is considered to be not mine.
No problem with the cold though.
The havamina was that it is his because he's using it for his own kapara. So kamashmalan that no, it's not his.
Right, no, that's true. I'm just trying to fit into the words of Ula and Rav Huna. Taking out the words Bemas Chavero helps.
Our whole problem was that it's not Kuli Kadonim, because it's Koldehu, right? That was our whole problem.
Yeah. Right.
So we're saying now that since it's not yours, Koldehu is not enough. You might need the whole thing to answer it.
No, in a Hanami, that's true.
That problem won't come. Kamash Balan, no.
No, but look at right. But what I want to see is Rav Papa's fourth answer. I understood it yesterday, so I can get it again today. But Rav Huna said, "Haisa bemas chaveru ruvutza." You want to take out bemas chaveru. You want to say your animal is sprawled in front of an avodah zarah. When you do siman echad, that's going to prohibit it. And you wanted to say that it's a chatas. He says, and you won't be bothered by the chatas case that we brought from a brisa. Why? My time up, because I would have said didei matzi asar, because his animal he can prohibit, somebody else's animal, which includes the chatas, he cannot prohibit. That's the way I would have read this. Somebody else's animal is the chatas, that you can't prohibit. To which the Gemara says pshita, but that's obvious. To which his answer is mau desema, I would have said the chatas is in a different category. I would have said kevan dekani le lechapara, since you acquire the chatas for the sake of kapara kididei damya, it's considered to be like yours. The chatas is considered to be in the yours category, not in the someone else's category. In other words, I would have said Rav Huna's case originally was your animal, and this other case of the chatas is also your animal. That's what I would have assumed, and that's how I would have put them. That's what would have put them head to head. Kamash Malan, and it's teaching me that it's not so. That the Chatas is considered to be someone else's animal. The Chatas is not considered to be your own. That's the Chiddush. That would be the Chiddush. Because then I require the Maisa that Ula defines in order for it to become Aser. It wouldn't become Aser on its own, because it's a Chatas, and therefore it's not mine. It wouldn't become Aser with a small action. With a great action, it'll, or with an action at any rate, it'll become Aser. That's how it relates. In other words, when we quoted Eser of Nachman the Rav Huna, Hashochei Chatas b'Shabbos b'chutz lavados kochavim chayiv shalosh chataos. Right, when we make that statement, we're talking about shechei chatas, which is not yours. We're defining chatas as not yours, and we're saying that you'll be liable at the end for all three of these isurim. You'll be chayiv for shchutei chutz, and you'll be chayiv for avodah zarah. You'll be chayav for shchutei chutz, and you will be chayav for avodah zarah, and they will occur simultaneously because it wasn't yours in the first place, in the beginning, for you to render it aser. With a mini action, you required that you actually complete the shchita,
and therefore doesn't become avodah zarah prematurely.
Right, and that's how you end up with all three. Okay. The Gemara, though, is fascinated by this issue of prohibiting something that doesn't belong to you. And that's what the Gemara is going to deal with now. We're only going to start it. The rest of it will have to be for Shabbos. Rav Nachman v'Rav Amram v'Rav Yitzchak. It's cute, the little mnemonic there. Nahatz is for the three names. Rav Nachman, Amram, and the Tzadi from Yitzchak. So the three said, Amri, Ein Adam Oser Davar She'eno Shalo. You can't prohibit something if it's not yours. That which belongs to somebody else, you can't render off limits, except you can, as we already know, but it requires a full shechita in order to do so. So the Gemara challenges that first from one case. Meisvei, we learned our case. Hashochei chatas b'Shabbos b'chutz la'avodas kochavim chayiv shalosh chatos. Right, you shechted the chatas. That's not yours. It's property of the Beis Hamikdash, and yet you can render it avodah zarah. V'okminan bechatas ha'ova v'chatzi kanapagum. Before Rav Papa came along with his could have beens, our answer was Marzutra, citing Rav Papa, said that it's where the animal already had half the trachea cut, and you just finished it off, right? But taima dechatas ha'ovu dekulu ba'adei adadika asya. And the only reason that works is because you said it's a bird chatas, and therefore everything is happening simultaneously. Aval zevach lo. But if it was zevach, meaning non-chatas, meaning something that's an animal that doesn't undergo malika, then we would say no. We would say that it becomes avodah zarah right away. But if you can't prohibit something that ain't yours, then why is chatas ha'of special? The same thing should be true for chatas behema. It should not lose its status as carbon just because you started cutting it. It doesn't belong to you. So his answer is, the answer is that you're right. However, since you acquire the chatas for the sake of doing kapara, it is considered to be yours. So the reason why we specify chatas is to agree with this concept of ein adam oser davar she'eino shelo. You're telling me I can't prohibit something that's not mine? You're right. I can't prohibit something that's not mine. 100%. The only carbon I can prohibit like this is going to be the chatas. Because the chatas is mine, to the extent that I use it for kapara. That's the idea. If you say ein adam oser davar she'eino shelo, then the same thing is true for any carbon. All carbonos are going to be alike. However, the chatas is unique because it's not really ein shelo. That's our point. You follow?
Yeah, but what about shlamim?
No, shlamim is not going to be mine. Only when I do when I complete the job will we say that it's now aser. Yeah. Only when you complete it. Right, so there are issues of theft involved. Although, it depends on what you did. And that's part of what you have to see in the other cases, whether you're chayav for gazel or not. Like, what if I just... you'll see the case. I take your wine and I identify it for avodah zarah. So is that gazel? You're still holding your wine. It's just worthless now. So that's something that has to be discussed. It's not just here. There's dina de garmi. It's discussions in the bavas. Yeah, sorry? Right.
If a zealot is a hektish,
well, it's not hektish here, it's a avodah zarah.
Well, you're also using it as a carbon.
But it was a carbon. It was a carbon before that. Right? It was. It didn't become a carbon. Now it was a carbon. Now it's nothing. All right.